ISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. No bail for the suspect accused of gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last week. Luigi Mangione's defense attorney in Pennsylvania says his client will fight extradition to New York. Police speculating Mangione had a grudge against the healthcare industry, and but he's being seen by some as a hero, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Mangione's case has become a cause, with admirers posting videos like this on Instagram. A social media profile gained hundreds of thousands of followers after his arrest, and the police department that arrested Mangione has been threatened.
Weather conditions are forecast to improve in Southern California. Quieter Santa Ana winds should help firefighters battle the Franklin Fire in Malibu. So far, 2,700 acres burned. President-elect Donald Trump picking Andrew Ferguson as the next chair of the Federal Trade Commission. Senator Ron Johnson has been nominated to be ambassador to Mexico. Kimberly Guilfoyle as ambassador to Greece. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Incredibly underrated actress Linda Cardellini has agreed to join the cast of HBO's DTF St. Louis. The three-time Emmy-nominated Cardellini joins series regulars Jason Bateman and David Harbour. According to Variety, DTF St. Louis is a dark comedy and will broadcast 7 episodes. The show tells the story of a midlife crisis love triangle where one character ends up dead. Cardellini has been cast in the role of Carol. Harbour and Bateman are also executive producers. The show is currently in pre-production. Jamie Foxx has finally revealed during a stand-up comedy special what his illness was a couple years ago. The comedian who told the crowd how happy he was to be back also revealed what he was suffering from, a brain bleed. Foxx went into surgery and says he woke up 20 days later with no idea of what happened. If you want to hear more about Foxx's ordeal, check out his comedy special, which is currently streaming on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers get ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers installing the game plan for the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday Night Football. If Green Bay wins and the Falcons lose, the Packers could clinch a playoff spot with 4 games remaining. Packers tight end Tucker Kraft.
This next storm of games, we're going to be locked in. You know, we're going to be energized. We're going to bring that juice. We're going to be locked into our technique, our assignment, our alignment. If we win a line of scrimmage, we win each game.
College basketball, the Badgers lost down in Illinois last night, 86-80. That's Wisconsin's third loss in a row. NBA, the Bucks with a 114-109 win over the Orlando Magic, and that means the Bucks are headed to the NBA Cup tournament in Las Vegas this weekend. After the game, Damian Lillard praised teammate Bobby Portis for his leadership.
You always want to make sure that you behave in a way that's respectable, even when it's not going your way, because it's going to turn, and you want people to know. You know, it's always great to see when Bobby is doing his thing. You know, it's infectious and it changes our team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was basically a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Light snow this morning, around an inch or less of accumulation possible, then becoming windy with falling temperatures this afternoon. We'll be in the teens by late today. Tonight, windy and cold with a low of 2 above and a wind chill in the teens below zero. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 11. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Well, grab more clothes when you head out the door this morning. It's going to be a chilly one around Wisconsin. Welcome to a Wednesday, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has all the weather details in about 15 minutes. Forecast in front of me is calling for snow, and chances are it's going to start falling this morning and maybe continue into the afternoon hours. Chilly one today. Daytime highs no better than 24, and that's probably going to occur this morning. Then temps are going to fall all day and factor in a wind out of the west that could gust up to 25 miles an hour. And wind chills are going to drop us well below zero. Tonight, clear zero with wind chills down to minus 15. Tomorrow, sunshine, but not real warm. 12 our expected high with more wind chills. And then Friday, sunshine, highs near 25. Tell you what, if you ever want to start a conversation with a farmer, talk about the weather. They can't help themselves. That's what we talked about yesterday in Whitewater with four different watershed groups from southeast Wisconsin. Bridget Mason is the Wisconsin State Assistant Climatologist. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about how people can find out more about Wisconsin weather and engage. That's one of the conversations coming your way. I've also got Ben Jarbo coming in. If you think that autonomous cars and trucks are the only autonomous items you're going to see, wait. You may see autonomous in a farm field near you in the next couple of years. Thought that was kind of a cool story, and Ben's bringing it to us on a Wednesday.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
You see the headlines all the time. Consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
This year's gun deer hunt was a success. It actually wasn't supposed to be as bountiful as it was because of how late the nine-day season fell on the calendar. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. DNR deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel joins us this morning. He says the gun deer harvest, which totaled nearly 190,000 deer, was up 5% from last year and 1% from the five-year average. What drove these numbers? Jeff dives into it.
I guess what makes it unique this year is that the factor that we expect to influence the gun season harvest is that we had the latest possible opener that we can have on the calendar. And that usually has a negative effect on the harvest compared to the previous year. And that didn't happen this year. And it's a combination of we had a down harvest last year to begin with, and so it was a little easier to beat it. But we also coming off of a mild winter last winter that helped that helped too. And so hunting opportunity or harvest opportunity was a little better this year.
We haven't talked about the weather. How did that play a role this time around?
Opening weekend weather was very comfortable in a nice hunting weather, except for the lack of snow. And so I think everybody said, boy, it was a great opening weekend. Too bad we didn't have snow on the ground. But when the weather's that comfortable, it also leads to both hunters and deer not necessarily moving a lot during daylight hours. So it can negatively affect deer sightings. And that's part of being further away from the rut. You know, deer maybe just weren't moving. But then after Monday, up north, we got snow on the ground in a good chunk of the northern part of the state. And then other areas got snow from Thanksgiving on. And that part was great. But it also came with windy, cold, wind chill weather that made hunting less comfortable. So some hunters may have opted out because of that, but the hunters that were out there, it lended hunters to do more active hunting. They maybe stay comfortable and warm. That gets deer moving. And so we did see an increase in the deer harvest rate later in the season, and I think the weather helped out with that.
Now, success did vary by region. The Central Farmland Zone, for example, put up some strong numbers this year. Jeff, what highlights did you see depending on the region?
Sure. Well, the central farmland zone of the state really is our, you know, quote unquote deer factory. Now it has the most deer. It generates the most harvest. It's a large area of the state as well. And so when that area does well, that influences the state numbers in a positive way. And to me, what I look at in the central and in the southern farmland, more so than the buck harvest trend, is the antlerless deer harvest trend, because we've been challenged with getting an adequate antlerless deer harvest accomplished in the farmland zones for quite some time. And so we did see an increase in the central farmland in the antlerless harvest, which was good. Still not right where we needed to be, but we'll take it. That was in the positive direction. And the central forest zone, which is a small area region of the state, has been pretty stable over the last decade. And I think the increase we saw there really was just related to the conditions. I think they had really good hunting conditions, and that influenced that area. The northern forest, we kind of anticipated the buck harvest was going to be similar to last year. It was a little bit behind, and that was they probably see more of the influence of both the late opener but also the mild winter last year. And so those two things probably counterbalanced each other. And that low harvest we had in 2023 probably contributed to some of the older bucks that were showing up in the harvest this year. So even though the buck harvest wasn't an increase in the north for the gun season, it had increased quite a bit during the archery season, you know, leading up to the gun season. And talking to some taxidermists up north, there's been a lot of comments about a lot of really nice, you know, large antlered deer coming in this year. So that's a combination of the mild winter and the fact that there probably was some carryover from last year. So some older bucks in the population.
So if we look at our early data for the harvest, we're looking at about 190,000 deer harvested this year, over 5% more than last year and over 1% more than the five-year average. But what is the goal for DNR? What are you trying to reach?
The buck harvest is more of a, it is what it is, and it reflects hunter effort and changes over time and opportunities and conditions. But that's pretty consistent year to year with whatever variables might influence it on an annual basis. When we talk about what we're looking for as an objective, we're really focused on the antlerless harvest, the portion of the harvest, because that's really what deer management is focused on, is trying to achieve outcomes for the future by manipulating or changing the harvest in the antlerless deer. And really, when we're talking about that, we're focused on the farmland zones in the state, recognizing the challenges we've had to really accomplish deer management through adequate antlerless harvest. So what we're looking for is an antlerless deer harvest that reaches the annual harvest quota that's established every year as a goal.
So the quota ranges by county. What was the total quota, I guess, for Wisconsin for antlerless deer?
To be honest, I'm not looking at it right now, but it's in the hundreds of thousands. the statewide number isn't all that informative because it is so varied, you know, across the state. In the northern counties, in the northern forest, oftentimes that harvest quota may be only a few hundred deer, whereas in some of the southern counties, it's tens of thousands in some cases.
People hunting, that number was also slightly higher this year. I'm curious if you've seen any trends in changing of demographics, anything that's possibly influencing more people to get out there and hunt.
Well, I think we have been, and also not just the agency, but folks with strong conservation interests have been promoting and encouraging people to participate in deer hunting. And we are seeing the traditional recruitment into the hunting community has, of course, been with the youth, you know, being introduced through their family. But we're seeing an increased number of what we call adult onset hunters that maybe didn't hunt as kids, but they're very interested in their origins of their food and being more connected to their food sources and the ability to take responsibility or be connected to their food from start to finish. Deer hunting plays right into that. And so we are seeing more people coming into hunting later in life, and that might be balancing out or at least temporarily stabilizing what has been a long-term downward trend since the turn of the century. And are looking at the demographics of our hunting population, and we predict that it will continue to slowly decline. But for whatever reason, the last 2 years, it's been pretty stable. So maybe that's a good sign that we maybe are turning the corner and we're seeing some new people find deer hunting as becoming part of their annual routine and tradition.
We have been focused on the 9-day gun deer hunt that wrapped up, but there's lots more opportunities for people to get out there for the rest of the year. Is that right?
Yes, especially in our two farmland zones. There's still an abundance of availability of antlerless deer permits, and we'll be concluding the muzzleloader season here real quickly. And then there's a 4-day antlerless only hunt that's statewide. So anyone that still has unfilled antlerless permits can go out. But then in the farmland zones, many of the counties, but it is county by county, so yes, you have to check, is open for what we call the holiday hunt, which is another antlerless only firearm season that runs from Christmas to New Year. And so, plenty of opportunity for those that weren't successful during the traditional 9-day to maybe put some venison in the freezer yet this year.
It was also the safest gun deer hunt season in 4 decades. Only one non-fatal firearm accident across the entire state, and that's with over 500,000 people participating. The Wisconsin DNR hopes to see that continue. Deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel joining us. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Oshkosh to Neenah, this is 98.3 WISS.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
In Columbia and Dodge County a couple of hours ago, there's some activity east of Rochester building into western Wisconsin. And back in our home country, Pam, I'd say Shawano-Ocano County. Look like they have a little snow right now.
I don't need a lot of challenge weather-wise. My Yankee turns 90 years young on Saturday, and we got a whole passel of people that are coming in. So travel conditions as the week wears on are going to become priority for me, Stu.
Well, the big concern is going to be a little light snow, and it could mean some slippery spots today, but that comes along with a very strong wind. West and northwest winds today. Not too strong yet this morning, but they'll kick up. There'll be some gusts up around 30 and 35 miles per hour. Has to do with a front dropping southeast through Wisconsin. Call it that little Alberta Clipper. That's the reason there's some of that snow. And as the winds become more west and northwest around and behind that front, that really picks up the speed, really going to usher in the cold air. So temperatures are pretty mild this morning. I see a lot of mid-20s in that southern half of Wisconsin. They might not raise more than a degree or two this morning, and then they will be falling. Northern Wisconsin, falling temperatures all day, getting colder as we run on through, and nighttime lows will drop way down there. Any talk of snow ends today, not going to be much, you know, a little dusting here or there, and with that wind, it's going to blow around and everything else that's associated, but that cold air is the big one. There will be below zero readings in northern Wisconsin tonight with wind chills that push them even further down it. Oh, 10 to 20 below wind chills, not out of the question the further north you go. Sunny, colder for Thursday, some moderation Friday, but another system moves east in the central U.S. And late Friday into Friday night, maybe a little snow late in the night. Could be a little rain-snow mix into Saturday, but those temperatures will be a lot nicer warming up at that time, so we aren't going to talk a great deal of icing, I wouldn't expect, but there will be some of those spots and stretches, too, we'll have to watch for, so a little moisture just to get the weekend underway. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
All right, buddy. Tell me a little bit more about what's coming my way today. It sounds like wind chills become part of our conversation.
Yes, the wind chill is certainly going to be the topic of conversation today, as we expect mostly cloudy skies, snow showers, or some flurries around. Nothing going to be too heavy snowfall-wise except for little spots, but it's going to come along with a much stronger wind. Like we talked about, temperatures falling and wind chills probably dropping down to a good 10 or even 15 below during the day in some areas. That west and northwest wind gusting up near 20 and 30. Skies start to clear out a bit overnight. very low single digits in the south, below zero in the north. Still with that northwest wind, 10 to 20, gusting to 30, very chilly overnight. And then some sunshine Thursday, still cold, maybe a single digit in northern Wisconsin and low double digits in the south with the west winds at 5 to 15. And Friday, still some sunshine, at least starting out. Could be a little light snow trying to wedge in western Wisconsin late in the day. Maybe even upper teens in the north, but closer to mid-20s, Pam, in the south. And then a little nicer up into the 30s, at least for the weekend, but a little rain, snow Saturday.
Is that wind going to back off a little bit then towards the weekend?
Oh, yes. The wind backs off already tomorrow.
Okay. That'll make a difference.
It does get better. Yeah. But it's going to be pretty chilly today and tonight. Just be ready.
All right. Thanks, Stu. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Appreciate it.
All right.
Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Keep in mind, Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural Wisconsin. Find out more at Compeer.com. Speaking of weather, talking with our state assistant climatologist this morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WISS weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WISS.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Get signed up today at WISS.FM/newsletter.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
From the Lake Shore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. No bail for the suspect accused of gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last week. Luigi Mangione's defense attorney in Pennsylvania says his client will fight extradition to New York. Police speculating Mangione had a grudge against the healthcare industry, but he's being seen by some as a hero, says ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Mangione's case has become a cause, with admirers posting videos like this on Instagram. I'm in love with a criminal. A social media profile gained hundreds of thousands of followers after his arrest, and the police department that arrested Mangione has been threatened.
Weather conditions are forecast to improve in Southern California. Quieter Santa Ana winds should help firefighters battle the Franklin Fire in Malibu. So far, 2,700 acres have burned. President-elect Donald Trump picking Andrew Ferguson as the next chair of the Federal Trade Commission. Senator Ron Johnson has been nominated to be ambassador to Mexico. Kimberly Guilfoyle as ambassador to Greece. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Home Alone is at the top of many people's viewing list every holiday season. According to an Instagram poll conducted by the website Pubity, Home Alone was voted the greatest Christmas movie of all time. The film garnered 446,000 votes to take first place ahead of The Nightmare Before Christmas, which came in second. If you want to be entertained, read the comments on the Instagram poll where people argue about Christmas movies, and not exactly with holiday cheer. Other runner-ups included The Santa Claus, Christmas Vacation, Elf, and It's a Wonderful Life. You want to talk about range as an actor? Who could play Bruce Springsteen, a wrestler in Ironclaw, and the son of Jabba the Hutt? The answer is Jeremy Allen White. White has just signed on to play Jabba the Hutt's son in The Mandalorian and Grogu. Variety reports that White will provide the voice for the role and that this is the Emmy-winning actor's first role in a major movie franchise. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers get ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers installing the game plan for the Seahawks in Seattle on Sunday Night Football. If Green Bay wins and the Falcons lose, the Packers could clinch a playoff spot with four games remaining. Packers tight end Tucker Kraft.
This next storm of games, we're going to be locked in. You know, we're going to be energized. We're going to bring that juice. We're going to be locked into our technique, our assignment, our alignment. If we win the line of scrimmage, we win each game.
College basketball, the Badgers lost down in Illinois last night, 86-80. That's Wisconsin's third loss in a row. NBA, the Bucks with a 114-109 win over the Orlando Magic, and that means the Bucks are headed to the NBA Cup tournament in Las Vegas this weekend. After the game, Damian Lillard praised teammate Bobby Portis for his leadership.
You always want to make sure that you behave in a way that's respectable, even when it's not going your way, because it's going to turn. And you want people to know, you know, it's always great to see when Bobby is doing his thing. You know, it's infectious and it changes our team.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Light snow this morning, around an inch or less of accumulation possible, then becoming windy with falling temperatures this afternoon. We'll be in the teens by late today. Tonight, windy and cold with a low of 2 above and a wind chill in the teens below zero. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 11. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@americanfoodsgroup.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180.
He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Sit on the chin from. I get it. They're not getting blown out in these football games, but even about two-thirds of the games in the league aren't blowouts.
What's on the menu for you on a Wednesday? How about the weather? Great way to start a conversation with anybody in Wisconsin these days. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Bridget Mason is the Wisconsin Assistant State Climatologist. She was a guest speaker yesterday at a four-group watershed meeting down in Whitewater. You know, what you may not realize is there's a lot of different agencies and divisions that help to work on Wisconsin's weather, not only forecasting, but kind of chronologically keeping track of what we've lived through. Bridget's going to go through that for us this morning and make sure that you stay engaged. And you talk about autonomous trucks and cars. How about autonomous tractors? Tractors that are working entirely by themselves without a human in the seat. It is coming to a farm field near you in Wisconsin. Some might be there already. Ben Jarboe is talking with Brian Luck, our University Extension Ag Engineer, just around the corner. So today is the 11th day of December. Let's see, what can I tell you? Can you believe it? On this day, 2008, Bernie Madoff finally arrested, founder and chairman of Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC, ultimately convicted as a Ponzi scheme. He died in 2021, but he was arrested on this day back in 2008. And happy birthday today, actress, dancer, Rita Moreno, 93 years young, and now you know. Like I said, technology is something that Wisconsin agriculture leans on heavily these days, whether it's crop monitoring, whether it's marketing, or whether it's trying to supplant the very tight labor situation that we face. We're all about technology. Ben Jarboe joins us this morning with some interesting technology you might see driving in a farm field near you soon.
In the agriculture world, autonomy research is going full speed ahead. I'm Ben Jarboe at the Midwest Farm Report, and joining me is Brian Luck, a state extension specialist in machinery systems, and he's here to explain why so much of this research is being done as of late with the labor shortages and what stage they're currently at as we move towards full autonomy in the tractors.
It's kind of a new budding space for equipment companies. There's a lot of companies out there, as far as I can tell, that are sort of startups that are taking existing machines and converting them to autonomous platforms. There's a lot of safety considerations that have to be considered in that realm as well. And it is headed this way. We're not quite there yet. We're not ready to go fully autonomous in the ag production, at least field crops sort of space. But I'd say within the next year or two, it's a real reality that we could be doing that and setting machines to do what we want them to and just providing them the fuel, seed, fertilizer, et cetera, that they need to get the job done. I go home to my family farm, and I've been away from the farm for several years, and every machine has its own little quirk and other things, and, you know, I probably do more harm than good helping my uncle, you know, farm. So if he was able to have an autonomous machine that he could program to do exactly what needed to be done, and, you know, only check on that machine every so often to make sure it's still doing what it's supposed to do and has what it needs to do it, I think it's going to help with labor shortages, improve efficiencies. We might even see benefits as far as financial benefits when we're working towards applying the right treatment at the right time. So if we have a two-day window to get the seed in the ground and we don't want to plant, you know, 24 hours a day, these machines could do that, which might help farmers.
Well, when you take a look at this autonomous machinery and just various like technological advancements for it, what part of the ag industry is this going to help the most of it? Is it this produce sector, or is it going to be row crop, or which one's getting the most research in on it?
Yeah, I think currently we're working in the row crop space more than anything. And I say that maybe due to ignorance, because that's the area that I work in. So there may be more out there than I know about. That said, a lot of the same processes, if we're talking sweet corn, we're talking, you know, snap beans, et cetera, it's very much similar to corn, typical corn and soybean production in agriculture. So there's a lot of operations that could be done. Most of what's going on right now in the autonomy world is, I would say, more simple operations. So our tillage operations, mowing operations, things along those lines, to where the machine doesn't really have to make a decision that I'm out of seed and that's a problem, right? It has the fuel, it has the tillage input, but behind it, it's able to complete its task. As we progress with more sensors and more intelligence in these machines, I think we'll get to the more complicated field operations being completely autonomous and able to basically run our whole farm from the office.
Luck says even though we have all the technology needed for this type of machine, there are still a lot of question marks around regulations that could take place on these machines, as currently they're legally not allowed to go anywhere outside of a field. That'll make it more difficult to get them onto a farm, but they're looking for solutions. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers, the Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now is the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Welcome back on a Wednesday morning. Well, yesterday the World Ag Supply Demand Report was released, and as John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, told us yesterday, they adjusted the corn numbers. Basically, what they said is that the use of corn is going up. Corn for ethanol going up as far as their numbers by 50 million bushel to 5.5 billion bushel. They also expect exports to go up by 150 million bushel. Corn ending stocks were also reduced by 200 million bushel. So those were kind of the trend line conversations off the World Ag Supply Demand Report yesterday. On a chilly start to a Wednesday morning, our March corn right now is unchanged at 449. December new crops up a penny at 442. January soybeans are down three at 992, with November new crop beans down a penny at 1009. March wheat up a penny right now at 563. July new crop up a penny and a half, currently at 578. pretty quiet. On the dairy front yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese dropped just a quarter of a cent to 168 and three quarters, while AA butter and 40-pound block cheese both remained unchanged. Now, the Class 3 fluid milk that goes into cheese this morning, January is down 7, currently at 1918 a hundredweight. Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced the recent recipients of dairy processor grants. The grants are designed to try to build innovation, improve profitability, and sustain the long-term viability of our Wisconsin dairy facilities. Some of those picking up grants include Alpenage Cheese, Organic Valley, Crave Brothers Farmstead Cheese in Waterloo, Family Fresh Pack, Hidden Springs Creamery, Marique Marketing up in Thorpe, and Widmer's Cheese Cellars. If you want to see more about that story, come on over. MidwestFarmReport.com. We got her posted right there. Up next, everybody wants to know about the weather, especially at this time of the year in Wisconsin. I learned a little something about it yesterday with Bridget Mason, Assistant State Climatologist. We're going to chat with her next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you follow the American Democracy Minute, you know that until last year, Wisconsin held the infamous title as one of the most gerrymandered states in the U.S. That changed November 5th. Former Governor Scott Walker accelerated gerrymandering of the Wisconsin Assembly, Senate, and congressional maps during his 2011 to 2019 tenure, engineering a 64-35 majority in the Wisconsin Assembly and a 22-11 majority in the Senate, despite an evenly divided liberal and conservative electorate. In 2023, the GOP was short of a supermajority by only two Assembly seats. Vetoes by current Governor Tony Evers tried to keep even worse maps at bay, but a conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court ultimately allowed them. But a Supreme Court election in 2023 shifted the ideology of the court, and the court's reconsideration of the Assembly and Senate maps led to new, fairer maps for the 2024 general election. While Republicans maintain control of both houses, fair maps reduce the artificial Republican advantage in the Assembly 54-45 and the Senate 18-15. Veto overrides of the governor are far less likely, forcing the legislature to compromise on more legislation. The congressional district map, which did not change but is also widely recognized as gerrymandered, gave a 6-2 advantage to Republicans. We have links to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pair four. Tell you what, that means that there's an awful lot of people paying attention to our multiple weather agencies and services across the state. Yesterday, during a four watershed group meeting down in Whitewater, I bumped into Bridget Mason. She is the assistant state climatologist, and we started a conversation about what people need to know about the different weather-related agencies in Wisconsin and what they do. We start off with Bridget explaining what the state climatologist office does.
So the state climatology office is
the Wisconsin's place to get information, learn how to understand and apply that information. And we also investigate weather and climate patterns in Wisconsin. And so the State Climatology Office is mostly focused on the past and present weather of Wisconsin. And that means putting the present conditions into a historical context. Now, the other organizations that you mentioned, Pam, National Weather Service. So National Weather Service is more so focused on short-term forecasting. So if you want a really good seven-day outlook, we would recommend heading over to the National Weather Service. You can head to weather.gov and you can type in your location and get your current conditions, a seven-day forecast, and even a detailed hourly forecast. And the best part is that these are meteorologists who understand the atmosphere, who look at the models every day and understand model biases. And perhaps the most appealing is that they're free. So definitely head over to weather.gov. The other organization I think worth mentioning is WICI, the Wisconsin Initiative on Climate Change Impacts. So WICI is really focused on mid to late century projections. And so when we talk about, you know, our future is projected to get wetter, or we might have a more extreme precipitation, that's who is really focused on getting us those projections.
Interesting. Do you often run into questions that are outside of state climatologists?
Of course we do, like everyone else, but we always try to navigate them the best we can, meet everyone in the middle. And, you know, I'm always happy to get everyone those answers, even after a presentation or after a meeting. Mm-hmm. So we're always happy to follow up, even if we can't answer a question right there.
Bridget and I were talking about how, despite the fact that we've got technology, which is wonderful, and more technology thanks to the State Climatology Office being deployed, the human element when it comes to Wisconsin weather is still pretty critical, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And something that you and I have been talking about is the Wisconsin Weather Watchers and how we really love having citizen science, getting citizens involved in observing rainfall. Even if you're interested in having a weather station on your land, we can get a WiscoNet weather station up for you. Dependent on volunteering and money, of course. But with citizen science, it's really important and helpful to have people on the ground getting this real, authorized data and observations because, you know, as we were talking about, there's a lot of localized weather events that happen. You know, heavy precipitation can happen in one location, but then 5 miles down the road, it might have just been a drizzle. So that citizen science is really helpful.
No, granted, you've only been in Wisconsin for a short period of time, Bridget, but you've been fascinated with weather, from what I can understand, with your credentials for a while. What are your personal observations? You're coming off a year where you had plenty to look at.
Yes. I have noticed that things seem a little bit variable. You know, it's the Midwest. Everyone kind of jokes around that things are variable. You know, you leave the house, you need your jacket by noon, you need a t-shirt and shorts, and then by 6 p.m., it's snowing. So that is my observation. That's been very true. Last year, we had a lot of precipitation ping pong where it was the wettest January through April on record. Then we immediately dried out to the fourth driest August. June through September, I think it was. A lot of precipitation variability and even temperatures. This past winter, February 27, 2024, we reached our hottest winter temperature ever recorded. It was 77 degrees that day on February 27th. The following morning, February 28th, it was in the teens, maybe even in the tens. So a lot of variability I've been noticing.
And from what you've been able to derive from the historical and current, it looks like we better get ready for some of that. That's static, irregular weather, localized heavy events, that is becoming the static story.
Yes, I would definitely agree. This pattern will continue to be amplified. As I mentioned earlier, WICI puts out a lot of these projections, and they would agree. They have found that our patterns that we are experiencing, you know, this intense transition between frequent and intense rainfall to frequent and intense drought is something that we can continue to experience. And so if you are interested in seeing more of those, I would suggest, you know, maybe in a Google search, you know, Wiki climate projections, and that could get you there. We also have that information on our state climate office website.
Wiki, use C instead of K, though, or you're going in a completely different direction, I'm sure. Let's talk a little bit then about just some rudimentary thoughts going into the new calendar year. I don't want you to forecast, Bridget, because that's not what state climatologists do, but I am kind of curious. I'm a young entrepreneur. I just started agribusiness that depends on the weather. Do I start factoring in these localized events, these erratic patterns, so that I've got a plan A and a plan B? I think all farmers kind of do in their head, but do I have to get it maybe to a little bit more formalized planning level?
Yeah, I would absolutely encourage you to do so, just because there is evidence suggesting that we are going to see more of this variability and just more warmth and, you know, increased winter temperatures, which could, of course, affect your operations, increased overnight temperatures, which affect crops and livestock. So, yes, I would highly advocate for getting into plans. There are climate assessments out there that, you know, templates that can help you walk through this. If you're interested, definitely reach out to myself or the SCO. We can get you connected to those climate adaptation and mitigation resources. Absolutely.
That's Bridget Mason, assistant state climatologist. She presented some fascinating information about how Wisconsin's weather patterns have changed over the past 3 decades or so. And she also projected what's coming in 2025 and beyond. And let's just say it may require Wisconsin farmers to rethink some of the crops that we plant and when we plant them. I'll leave it at that for a Wednesday morning. More food and farming information available anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. You missed something that one of the guests said? Don't worry about it. I'm going to post this conversation online as well so you can re-listen all over again. MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay warm. We'll catch you tomorrow morning.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Genetic advancements help lead to beefier dairy calves. Up next on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Traditional dairy breed steers have had limited slaughter value, but there's a trend now toward using beef breed genetics to boost that value. Olivia Genther Schroeder of Purina.
Holsteins don't fit as well into the beef production system as our typical beef animals would. So when we mix the genetics, we maintain really good things that come from the Holstein breed, like marbling, but we bring in reduced days on feed and increased carcass yields that allow for an animal that is produced as a part of the dairy industry, but actually fit much better into the beef industry at the end of the day.
Genther Schroeder says dairy steers brought about half the value of beef steers in the past. She says that can change by bringing in beef genetics.
producing a calf that is part beef and part dairy, and really improving the value of what that calf is, because it is going to specifically go into beef production as opposed to dairy production. So we're really putting this calf into our beef raising system. So depending on how we feed them and how we manage them, we can certainly get them to harvest by 13 to 14 months of age.
A story from Penn State Extension notes the growing numbers of dairy steers going into the beef markets as native beef cattle numbers reached an all-time low. The article suggests this as a good way for dairy producers to boost profits. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
It's the center of the kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As suspected CEO killer Luigi Mangione fights extradition to New York City, he is being hailed on the internet by some as a folk hero. ABC's Andrew Dimbert has more on the murder of UnitedHealthcare's Brian Thompson.
Google has now removed a flood of negative reviews posted for a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, after an employee there tipped off police about Mangione's location. People are also now selling mugs and shirts that say denied, defend, and depose. The words police say were found on bullets at the crime scene, matching the title of a book on why insurance companies don't pay claims. Some sites quick to remove the merchandise, sympathetic to Mangione, concerned about glorifying violence.
Mangione held without bail in Pennsylvania. The Franklin fire in Southern California calming somewhat as Santa Ana winds around Malibu calmed down just a little bit. Following the fall of Bashar Assad's government over the weekend, Israel carrying out nearly 500 airstrikes in Syria, targeting many of the country's military installations. This is ABC News.